The Democratic field for the presidential nomination has gotten smaller this week. Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard's still in the race, although she won't be on stage for the next debate. But with this focus on the election, there's also a question about security, not for the candidates, but for the ballots. Our contributing editor Neil Milner's here with some thoughts and some research about election security in today's edition of The Long View. And Neil, this certainly is a recurring theme.
Well, not only is it recurring, it's going to be a recurring part of elections from now on for, of course, obviously technical reasons. And the Joint Committee in Congress discovered that all in 2016, there were an attempt to hack all 50 states, some with more success than others. But this is a problem that has become ubiquitous, pervasive, because it's a cat and mouse thing. Hackers find new ways, and we have to find new ways to respond. So part of what you really have to understand, and part of what the Brookings Institution's series on electoral cybersecurity, which is a good source for people to follow, is that you have a continuing problem that you have to work with with a very important organizational characteristic, which is federalism. That one of the fundamental challenges here is, of course, technical, but the other fundamental challenge is that we are in a system that is a federal system. What does that mean concretely? It means this: Congress has the power to set elections, Article 1, Section 4. But administering elections is in the hands of the state. So if you picture that, if you have a pervasive national problem, but you have a system in which 50 states, all of which have this enormous variation with local precincts and all that, have to be the ones to respond to the problem, that's another challenge here, along with whatever the hacker shtick is at any given point in time.
But that really sets up a lot of sort of natural friction in terms of state.
It's called the disconnect, you'll notice. Yeah, friction is, friction requires a kind of rational interaction. Disconnect may mean that you didn't even know very much about it. And the analogy that is frequently used and that Brookings used when they talk about disconnect is 9/11, where you had an enormous wealth of information, but there really wasn't, prior to it, intelligence information scattered all through bureaucracies. Right. And there really wasn't a process by which you could get all this information on time, and ergo, to put it simply, that's how 9/11 took place, even though we had information. This is analogous. You have this big problem out there in 2016. The feds tried to communicate some of this information to the states. Now, remember, in some ways, this is even harder because you're going to the places that had autonomy, and the disconnects were pretty much amazing. For example, the feds, who have experience with Homeland Security, were not used to dealing with all these state people who didn't know squat, basically, about a lot of this stuff.
And by the way, state election commission is not really set up like a law enforcement agency.
No, that's right. And it's not necessarily set up as a kind of technical organization. So here's one of the things that happened. The feds tell the state that there's this hacking going on. The states figure, okay, we're used to that. I mean, it happens all the time. We'll do business as usual to try to keep it out. The feds never said anything to all the states that it was a foreign power trying to do the thing. So the even simple things like business as usual were interrupted or didn't really get carried out. So much of the thrust here is not just to try to figure out how to counter the hackers in a technical sense, but what do you do organizationally to respond? And that's where a lot of the attention is.
One of the interesting points in the research that you highlight there is that, as you said, this is all 50 states. So this is not just, the discussion about electoral college and, look for Ohio and what about Wisconsin. All 50 states.
Plus, you have poll watchers, you have other kinds of people at the precinct level, and some states really rely on the precincts to do a lot of those things. So every one of those things is a challenge, and every one of those things can also be a vulnerability. So what you have going here is a couple of things, one of which is that you attempt to organize some kind of coordination of learning and shared information. And that's where Hawaii comes in. The National Governors Association has given Hawaii plus a few other states an opportunity to participate in a kind of process of doing things to prevent hacking. And it's really a sort of consortium and a way to improve communication. We're talking about maybe six or eight states. And also to figure out what the state of the art is. Now, we know what some of the state of the art should be, that you should have better poll watchers, you should have better you should have paper ballots as a backup. You should have election audits. You should harden your targets by, let's say, not putting your voter registration list on the internet, which is what the state of Illinois did. And they were hacked. And the possibility then is that you can do all kinds of changing names. We know all that. It's harder to do, and the federal government, Congress, is not interested in doing it. Mitch McConnell won't bring any bill like that forward. So again, it's about national stuff. It's about learning things through shared responsibilities, through coordination, through all of the things that are part of the federal system, all of which sound good and are essential, but you can figure out how difficult a number of those things are.
So it's one thing to learn the lessons. It's another thing to apply the lessons.
Yes, it's another thing to apply the lessons. And one of the things that they're also trying to do is to learn from good people hackers, right? That's another thing you could do. DEF CON, which is a group of hackers who work for the good people, have tried to set up things, and they've set up something called Voter Village, I think is the term. Voter Village is a simulation that goes something like a simulation based on the idea that you've been hacked. What do you do? And that's been a very popular thing to learn. So I think to understand, in short, what's going on here, you have to understand that target hardening is part of this. We know some of the things that are doing. Hawaii has done some of this. Paper ballots, having a paper trail of ballots seems to be essential. But a lot of it is going to depend upon coordinating very diverse people who have mutual interests, but still have to deal with, still are pretty much autonomous from one another.
You know, it's interesting, as Hawaii moves forward to more mail-in balloting and that direction, implications on security for that?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of implications, I think, one of which is that it reduces the necessity of poll watchers. And poll watchers, precinct workers are hard to find. As things get more technical, there's more to learn. We have trouble getting them there. The other side of it is mail ballots not going to take away the need. It's still an open question about hackability of mail ballots. You never give up the possibility that something can be hacked, for sure. The important thing is the opportunity for an audit and the opportunity for paper ballots to, you know, something on paper that you can use as a backup.
Yeah. That Brookings site, by the way, very interesting in terms of a lot of news and information on that as well.
Yes, and very readable.
Very readable. Neil Milner. He's a retired professor of political science, contributing editor of our segment, The Long View. Thanks, Neil.
You're welcome.